Man, it's good to be with you this morning. Come on, who's glad to be in the house of God? You know, I have this last couple weeks just been through some interesting things with some people. People just going through some difficult stuff, and then at the same time in the same season, some people really going through some celebrations in life. You know, in the same week, spending time with a new dear friend that is mourning the passing of a loved one that was really near and dear to him and his family. And then the same week, celebrating with other friends that are celebrating graduations and all the, and other things that are really exciting. And, you know, can I just tell you, in the midst of everything, every circumstance, every season, God is good. His love endures forever. Amen. And I, you know, I don't know about you, but when we, I've been walking with that friend through the loss of his granddad, and it's just amazing how God will use something that is even painful like that for our good, if we'll just stay connected to God. And it's one of the things I know it does. I see it time and time again when I walk with families through it. And inevitably, God always does it in my life and in my heart too, is it causes me to want to live differently and want to take advantage of every opportunity that I have with God and with my wife, with my kids, with the things that God's entrusted me to and called me to. And so I just want to share that with you this morning and just share, man, my commitment to you as our church family is I'm going to preach every message that I have the blessing and the breath to stand here and preach like it was my last. And so I'm excited this morning about what God's going to do and what he's going to speak. And I hope that you're filled with expectation for what God's going to do in your life. Come on, you don't have to answer it out loud, but let me just ask you something. Answer it to yourself. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much are you expecting God to do something in your life today? 25, I love it, 25. I knew I could count on Steve Kiefer to give me a big number there. Come on, baby. Love that guy. But if you have your Bible this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to go through several different places of Scripture. While you're turning there, I'll just share with you that once again, the stamp on my hand is not because I was at the club over the weekend. It's because I paid for our boy, Aaron, our 10-year-old boy, to play baseball, and then I pay to watch him play baseball. So he's like, I've said it before, like he's almost, you could almost say he's pro. He's gone pro, you know, like someone's making some money. I don't know who it is. Someone is, but a kid and every dollar is worth it. Like I don't know what they could charge. When I walk up there, like, and they charge me to get in to watch his tournament or his games, I don't know what they could say that would be high enough that I would walk away. You know, I think I'd pay whatever they'd say. Don't tell them that, though. And that's the reason the stamp is still on my hand, because on the days where I go back on Sunday, I'm hopeful that they didn't change the color of the stamp and they're going to let me in again, you know. And yesterday, we'll get to holy things here in a minute. Yesterday, it was this massive tournament in Kansas City, and they had all these vendors and everything out there, including this company that had a van parked in there with this giant printer, and they were taking pictures of kids and printing out posters of your kid and framing it and trying to sell it to you before you leave there, you know. And they took pictures of as many kids as they could, but they printed out a few of them. We had the first game yesterday morning. They printed out a few of them to use as examples. To show all the parents that would be coming in, and they used Aaron, our 10-year-old boy, as one of the examples for this poster. And so, I was looking at it, I thought, that's pretty cool. And I thought, what would I be willing to pay for that? and I thought, I kind of had a figure in my mind, you know, and I walked up and asked him, and the figure was much higher than the figure I had in my mind, you know. And so I've been thinking about it since, and I thought, you know what? They used Aaron's likeness. They really should pay us. Right? Like, I should go back there today and be like, hey, you know, that's my kid on there, and you used his likeness for this sample. You know, really, you should be paying us. But if you just give me the poster, we'll call it even. I don't know how that would go, and I don't know what God would think about that, you know, just things I'm wrestling with in my heart there, but... All right, Ephesians chapter 4, let me pray over us this morning and just invite the presence of God, and let me just ask you to do the same thing. Like, I'll pray over us as a church family, but would you, just right where you are today, just pray in your own faith and in your own circumstances, whatever you're going through this morning, that God would speak to you. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the privilege it is to be your family and be called your sons and daughters and be gathered in your house this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of visiting your word. We thank you, God, for your presence here today. And to those of us this morning, Lord, who are weak or weary or wounded or struggling, going through difficult seasons, difficult situations, challenging circumstances, God, pain or loss, we just thank you, God, you're so good. Your presence is here this morning to heal and to strengthen and to comfort, Lord, those who mourn. And we just thank you, God, for those of us who are in times of just rejoicing and celebrating, God. We know you've called us, Lord, to just grieve with those who grieve, celebrate with those who are celebrating. And we thank you, God, for strengthening us today, wherever we're at in our life today, to grow in you and to become more of the mighty men and women of God that you've made possible through Jesus Christ for us to become and be. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's precious people said, amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And I just want to read this and remind you that, my calling as a pastor is not just to do the work of ministry. It's to raise up and equip you guys to do the work of ministry. It's to raise you guys up to discover and begin to experience and fulfill the call of God on your life. And it says this way. It says, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. That word shepherd is a word that we use that we call pastors, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that Christ is our example, that we're apprehending, that we're growing towards, and not just Christ, but the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by winds of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And as your pastor, so I'm called to do so much more than just preach a good message. I'm called to do so much more than just to be the one that's always doing the work of the ministry. I'm called to equip you for your God-given purpose. I'm called to help ensure that we're unified in faith and unified in our mission. And I'm called to help each one of you grow into the maturity of Christ, to continue to grow. We talk about it often. I say the atmosphere of our church is going to be an atmosphere of grace and growth. Grace that understands that the power of the blood of Jesus and the resurrection power of Jesus is so much bigger than any sin, any error, any shortcoming, anything in your past. It's so much greater. It's so much bigger. But that grace is not just our ticket to heaven. It's compelling us to grow in God, to want to discover and begin to be and become the mighty man of woman or woman of God that God's made possible for you through Jesus and by his Holy Spirit. Because the urgent need for every one of us is to be saved. But the ultimate goal of God is to raise us up into a mighty man or woman of God, to become kingdom builders, to become powerfully anointed in God's purposes for our life, and to then begin to extend those things into future generations as a legacy and a heritage of faith and godliness. Listen, there's a calling and there's a purpose for every person, every one of you. There's a calling and there's a purpose from God for every one of you. And the title of our message this morning is The Power for Purpose. And we've talked before about the power of purpose, but I'm talking to you today about the power for purpose. There's a purpose for your life. There's a destiny for your life. And there's also an anointing from God to help you fulfill that calling and fulfill that purpose. There's an anointing from God. And so we're going to talk beginning this morning and maybe even for a few weeks about this concept of anointing. And I understand it's kind of for most of us, it's just kind of a religious word. What's it really mean, this word anointing? And I want to submit to you that anointing is important. Discovering the anointing of God for your life, that discovering the purpose of God for your life is one thing, and it's significant. Understanding and grasping and embracing that reality for you, that God has a kingdom destiny, a kingdom purpose for your life, is significant. But that then understanding that God wants to empower you to fulfill it. God wants to empower you to enjoy it. God wants to empower you to begin to release it and see the fruitfulness and the effect that God intends for it to have in our community come to pass. And that is God's anointing on your life. Very simply put, it's the empowerment of God to fulfill the call of God on your life. And so it's one thing to understand that God has a call on your life, but God's heart is not just to give you the call. God's heart is to give you every good and perfect thing that you need to fulfill the call. And there's an anointing that God has for your life in every area of your life. So let me just ask you a question. How many of you would like to discover and apprehend and enjoy the empowerment of God to fulfill the purpose of God in your life? How many of you would like to discover the empowerment of God to fulfill the purpose of God? How many of you would like to discover and walk in something that's beyond your own strength in everything that God's called you to do in your life? And so that's what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks, with a break for Larry Titus right there in between here on two Sundays. And so lean in this morning. I'm laying some groundwork. I'm setting some foundations. I'm introducing some things. And, you know, can I be transparent with you? I'm trying to preach less and accomplish more. And I just tell you, like, I'm learning. I've been doing this for a little over a year and a half now. Before I started preaching, I was a worship leader for 15 years. And so I just don't mind telling you, I've got a lot to learn. And so I'm trying to preach less and maybe accomplish more, give you just enough that you can take it and really begin to really digest it and begin to walk it out in your life. And it's been challenging for me because there's just so much in my heart that I want to say. I just want to keep going and get to it all today. But you guys can help me if you'll commit to come back next Sunday. That's part of my challenge. I'm like, man, I got these precious people right here, right now. They're pretty much capped. I mean, you can get them, walk out if you want, you know. No one will say anything. But you're here and now, and it's in my heart to just give you everything that God's shown me and everything that I've got to just pour it out. So I'm going to try to preach a little less and accomplish more, but you got to commit to come back next Sunday, all right, to hear the rest of it. So I'm laying some foundations this morning about this whole concept of what it is and how to apprehend and how to receive and how to protect the anointing of God, which is the empowerment of God in every area of your life to fulfill the purpose of God. And there's an anointing of God that he intends to give you to do everything he's called you to. Your work, your business, your marriage, your family, your church, and everything that you do here to help us build the kingdom and reveal Jesus and reveal the heart of the Father to the people in our community. Your friendships and your relationships, your finances, raising your kids. There's an anointing. All these are things that God's called you to that are just part of your purpose in life. And there's an anointing. There's an empowerment that God desires for you to walk in to get supernatural results, to get results that are beyond just what you can do in your own strength. Come on, how many of you are grateful that that's the case? I mean, I just tell you, like, I want what God does in our church to be about him showing up and moving. If it's just dependent on how good I preach and how smart I can be and how effective if it's about just my own strength, there's a measure of success we can get to, but it's so beneath what happens when we're walking and discovering the anointing of God. And it's true about every area of your life. And it's about everything. It's not just for religious functions. The anointing of God is not just for religious functions. And can I just submit to you, to see a city transformed and to see a nation revived, we got to start to think differently about some things. We have a tendency to compartmentalize church things and then just the rest of our life. We have a tendency to compartmentalize, like, sanctified things, holy things, church things, God things, and then just the other stuff that God's called us to. And I think there's something that will begin to happen. There's an exponential impact. There are exponential results. There's exponential reach that will begin to happen when we begin to break that down and we begin to see that the public school teacher is a missionary to our community, just like the church planter to Mexico. Your mission field is just different. Your tactics and your strategies are just different. But there's a mission field that God's called you to. So listen, when people begin to ask you what you do, and we're going to have a little fun with this, all right? So I don't know that you'll literally say this, but When people begin to ask you what you do, I mean, I hope this kind of begins to land so much on the inside of us that some of you might have the faith and the boldness to just say, I'm a missionary. And they'll say, really, where? Guatemala, Mexico, you know, where? And they're like, no, Topeka. I'm not picking on Topeka. But come on, what would happen if we began to drive into Topeka or downtown Lawrence or East Lawrence or South Lawrence or North Lawrence or West Lawrence or wherever it is in between that you go to work or that you go do what you do? If we began to approach it with the same kind of focus, the same kind of expectation, the same kind of spiritual preparation. We began to get up in the morning just like we were planting a church in Mexico, just like we were running an orphanage in Africa, just like we were doing the things that we commonly kind of put in the context of missions. We began to prepare. We began to expect. We began to watch and look how God would use us in that place, in that day, with the same kind of spiritual focus and preparation that we would if we were really missionaries. What kind of results would we begin to get? What kind of impact would our church begin to have? What kind of reach would we begin to have? Can I just tell you, it will begin to be exponential. Listen, wherever you are, wherever you work, wherever you go, listen, we think about missionaries of feeding people, clothing people, running orphanage. Wherever you're going, there are some hungry people that need the bread of life. Wherever you work, wherever you go, there are people riddled with guilt and shame, trying to hide their nakedness who need to be clothed in Christ. Wherever you go, there are people who, I don't care what it looks, what their family situation looks like spiritually, there are people wherever you work and they are orphans. They have no idea what it means to have experienced the love of a good and faithful father and be connected to a spiritual family. There's a call on you. There's a purpose for your life and there's an anointing to fulfill it. I just hope that begins to rise up in your faith. What do you do? God's called me to a really, really dark place with really beautiful, precious people that need Jesus. Really, where's that at? The 1040 window? No, Ottawa. Where's that at? Ethiopia? No, Lawrence, Kansas. Yeah, I run a print shop in Ottawa, Kansas, and I'm there, and I'm expanding the kingdom of God through what God's put in my hand to do. And God's expanding our vision to build his kingdom and reach people for his kingdom. We're about to open up another shop in Eudora. We begin to see it differently. Come on, I don't know that you'll literally have that conversation with people. Some of you might. But I'm wanting this to land in your heart to make a point, to help us to begin to see things differently. I believe it with all my heart. If we'll begin to get this and walk it out and release it, that's when exponential kingdom impact will begin to happen. So much more than just depending upon our church services and our programs and the way I can preach. It's just true. There's a purpose of God and there's an empowerment of God. And let me tell you something. Your job is not necessarily your calling. Your job is not necessarily your calling. It's one of the ways that God wants you to express your calling. But see, this is one of the ways we got to start thinking about it differently, because some of us, we think about calling and purpose, and we think, well, if I was a pastor. Your job is not necessarily your calling. Listen, Paul was a tent maker, but his calling was to establish and strengthen the church. We don't remember him for tent making. We remember him for the way he established and strengthened the church. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. That was his job. But his purpose in life was to bring about repentance and revival and restoration. So God used the job that he had put in their hand as an expression of their purpose. And the anointing of God is what connects our everyday natural life to the supernatural power of God. And listen, the pathway to the new and the next and the more of God. And if you're here this morning, you've recently graduated and you're saying, God, what do you have for me? What's next? If you're here this morning, you're saying, God, I want to be used in your kingdom. I'm just encouraging with something today. The pathway to that is always faithfulness with what's in your hand right now. The pathway to the new, the pathway to the next, the pathway to the more of God is always faithful stewardship of the now of God. What's God put in your hand? Where's God got you now? It's okay if you've got a vision to be somewhere else. It's okay if you've got a dream in your heart. But the way to get connected to it is not despising what God's doing right now. It's by saying, I understand that God's put this in my hand, and I'm gonna walk it out with faithfulness. I'm gonna walk it out with a way that I steward it well before the Lord. Anointing is what connects our everyday natural life to the supernatural power of God. Listen, last week or a couple Sundays ago, there was a precious lady here in the church that's battling some health issues, and the young lady, her daughter is a member and leader in our church, and so we knew they were going to be here, the daughter had said, hey, can we pray for my mom who's going through these health issues, and I was kind of caught up with some people up here after the service already, just kind of discussing and having some prayer time with them, and so they came and let me know, we're praying for this lady over here, and so I came over and kind of got in on it kind of after it had already gotten underway. And there was a young man, a young leader in our church who was already praying boldly over her, prayers of faith, prayers of healing, prayers of peace, prayers of strength over her in this challenge that they're walking through. And I just stood there just watching it happen, just realizing, man, this is exciting. This is exciting because as a pastor, I'm just standing there. I'm saying all the anointing that's needed for God, for Jesus to impact this woman is already here up in the prayer circle, you know. Like they weren't waiting for the pastor to show up for things to really get going. And so it was fascinating because, I mean, it was just awesome. This just prayers of faith and prayers of fervency, prayers of peace, prayers of love that were just happening right there, that were building faith. And then there was, the husband was kind of standing there just watching the just kind of in faith receiving as the wife was being prayed for as she's going through this physical challenge. And then the young man began to just turn to the husband. He said, God just showed me that you've got pain in your shoulders. And he said, is that true? And he said, it is. And he said, well, if God showed us that, it's because he wants to heal it. It's because he wants to touch it. He wants to minister to you as well, not just your wife today. And he began to pray in faith, you know, and the man began to receive. And so a few days later, I heard from the young lady who's a member and leader in our church, and she was just telling us about how her parents were encouraged and strengthened by the time here and by the prayers of faith, and they sensed the Holy Spirit. And she said, yeah, and about this young man that was praying for her, she kept saying, who is he? Who is he? And she said, well, he's just a young leader in our church. And she says, yeah. She would say, yeah, I know, but who is he? Like, what is he in the church? What is he in the church? And she said, well, he's new in our church, and he's just a young leader in our church. And she said that she kept saying, yeah, but who is he? And I know what she was saying. She was saying, but what title does he have? But what function does he have? But he's got to be a pastor, right? Like, he's got to have some kind of a specific function. And the reality is he doesn't. He's just a believer connected to the power of the Holy Spirit. He's a tent maker. And who knows what God has for his life, but his purpose is not tied up in his tent making. He understands that there's a more significant calling upon his life, and that's just one of the ways it's expressed. He understands that there's an empowerment, an anointing that God has brought into his life to reveal the kingdom of God. Listen, he's just a normal guy connected to a mighty God. Just a normal person connected to a mighty God. Acts 10:38 says this, that Jesus even had an anointing from God. It says that you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around. Look at your neighbor and say, then. Come on, nudge your neighbor. We are going to nudge our neighbor. Nudge your other neighbor who was your second choice and say, and only then. Then Jesus went around. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. God anointed him with power. There was a purpose that Jesus was sent to the earth to fulfill, and even Jesus needed the anointing of God to fulfill the call of God. There's a purpose that God's called you and created you for, and we'll talk about this through the next few weeks about how to begin to discover, how to begin to hear God about what your calling and what your purpose is. But let me just encourage you, there is one. And again, the pathway to beginning to discover it and walk in it is, what's God put in your hand right now? Where do you work right now? Who are the people that you can reach right now? But it's important, understanding that God wants to give you an empowerment to fulfill the purpose of God. In the Old Testament, God would send prophets. God would send prophets in his name to anoint people and call them out for his purposes. And in the New Testament, Jesus said this. He said, but the advocate, the helper, the advantage, one translation says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said to you. In the Old Testament, God would send a prophet in his name to anoint people and set them apart for kingdom purposes and for assignments. And now Jesus said, I'm going to the Father and I'm sending the Holy Spirit to call you, to appoint, to anoint you, to appoint you, to empower you to do what I've called you to do. John 15:5. So listen, it's all about being connected to God. God is the source of the empowerment for your purpose and for your calling. Whatever it is that God's called you to, whatever dream he's put in your heart, whatever he begins to reveal to you in this series in the next few weeks, staying connected to Jesus is the only way to really walk in the empowerment of God for the call of God in your life. And last week, my precious, beautiful wife, Amity, shared about being connected to the source. And didn't she do a great job, by the way? Wasn't she just amazing? She's amazing. Baby, you're amazing. Come on, let me just share something with you. That's the first time she's ever spoken on a Sunday morning ever in her entire life. Come on, that's the floor for her. Like, she's got a ceiling. Yeah. And by the way, let me just tell you, that's because there's a call of God upon her life, and he's anointed her to walk in the call of God upon her life. That's why it was effective. It wasn't effective. It wasn't enjoyable. It wasn't impactful and empowering because she's got all this experience or letters behind her name or a degree on her wall. It's because God's empowered her for the call of God upon her life, and he'll do the same for you. So she's talking about being connected to the source in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from you, from me rather, you can do nothing, nothing. Now, I've been thinking about this since Amity spoke about it. Jesus says nothing right there, but you know what the reality is? There is a level of stuff that we can accomplish apart from God. And so I just was thinking about it, saying, well, Lord, you said that we could accomplish nothing. Because there is. I mean, you see it all the time. Most people in the world today, what they're building, what they're accomplishing, is a lot of it happens in our own strength. And that's really what this whole series is going to be about. It's about understanding there's an empowerment of God that is beyond our own strength to get supernatural results in every area of our life. But there's a level of things that we can accomplish in our own strength. And I was thinking about it, praying about it. And God said, just spoke to my heart and just said, that word nothing is the only word in your limited vernacular that could accurately describe the difference between what's possible when you're empowered by my spirit and you're operating in your own strength. That's what it's like. It's like nothing. It pales in comparison. It's so far beneath. It's so far under what God can and will do in our life when we're connected to the source. When we're tied to the branch. When we are empowered by the Spirit of God and walking in his presence and living in his presence. What he'll do through us then is so much greater and so much more that the only word Jesus could use for what we would accomplish in our own strength is the word nothing. Proverbs 10:22 says this: it's the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. It says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and the NIV, a different translation, says, without painful toil for it. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but there's an anointing from God in what he's called you to do that's going to bring about different results in what you've experienced, and it's going to cause you to experience those results with less work. Isn't that what it says? With less toil. God adds no sorrow to it. When the blessing is coming from God and being connected to God, his purposes and his empowerment, there's a blessing that you'll begin to experience. There's an empowerment that you'll begin to experience. There's a breakthrough that you'll begin to experience without toiling and striving. Because how many of you know you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Worship team, come up. Get ready to lead a song as we prepare to dismiss. You can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. You can build an empire and it costs you your health. You can have tremendous amounts of success as a world would define success, and it costs you your marriage. You can be really successful and it costs you the relationship with your kids, or your kids despise you in spite of your success. That's not the heart of God for you and me. There's a blessing, there's a prosperity, there's a breakthrough there's accomplished. All God wants all those things, but it's by the empowerment of God. It's by the anointing of God, his ways, his presence, his spirit leading us to those things. Not our own strength, not our own striving. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We'll stand to your feet this morning and as we prepare to dismiss, I just want to ask you to just open your heart to receive from God this morning. What's God speaking to you? And right there, that's a great question to just ask at a moment like this. Just say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? What are you speaking to me through this message? What are you preparing me for through this series? What are you putting your finger on in my life? What are you preparing me to step into? What are the places that there are greater levels of calling and purpose and impact and joy and freedom and peace and life that you have for me? In my marriage, in my family, in my workplace, in my business, and the way I lead my business and pastor my employees and the way I shine the light of Jesus. In all of those places and so many other things, what are you preparing me for? How can I begin to connect right where you are this morning? How can we begin to connect what God's put in our hand today with the future purposes of God? How can I begin to shine the light for Jesus? How can I begin to see where you've called me and where you've placed me and where you've put me as the mission field for my life today? How can I become better connected and staying connected to the source of my empowerment, the source of my strength? Where are the places where I've allowed the cares of the world? Where are the places where I've allowed busyness? Where are the places where I've allowed distractions? Where are the places where I've allowed the fear of what people think? Where are the places where I've allowed the measure of what the world says is success to keep me from your presence? How can I begin to better guard and protect the anointing of God that is the empowerment of God in my life? Thank you, Lord. Just ask the Lord those things. Maybe the Holy Spirit would even just give you something else to just ask about. And let's just give him some space just for a minute here before we sing this song. Just let him speak to your heart. Thank you, God. You're so good, man. As much as I care as your pastor, as much as I'm passionate and impassioned to see you discover God's purposes and plans and his destiny for every area of your life and walk in the fullness of his empowerment to see it fulfilled and to see you enjoy it, man, God cares about it so much more. So much more. He created you for it. He created you for it. And he sees and he knows that the world that we live in is constantly trying to discourage. It's constantly trying to bring doubt. It's constantly trying to separate us from his very best. So, Lord, we just thank you today for just strengthening us, God, showing us, revealing us, God, empowering us, God. Thank you, God. He's just speaking to some people right now. He's reminding, I feel like he's almost always doing this, but this morning he's reminding some people and he's revealing some things to people. Some of you is reminding you of some things that maybe you once held near and dear. You once had in your heart a dream, a purpose, a passion, a calling. But all those things we prayed about earlier, cares of the world and distractions and busyness and all that maybe have come and have disconnected you. He's reminding you of some of those things. I'm trusting. He's going to use this series for those things to begin to come alive. And we're not going to rush through it. We're going to ask God to begin to not just see those things, not just see the spark of hope come alive, but also begin to just speak into the how to begin to walk into these things and to see them come to pass in our life. For some of you this morning, he's revealing some things, some things you've never seen or thought or heard before. And God's just showing you some things. And Lord, we're just so grateful and thankful for that today. Thank you, God. There's a city and a region and a nation and a world to be reached for Jesus Christ. And there's a life of peace and power and joy that you've called us to live out. It's going to cause the world to look and see and say, I want what they have. To cause the world to see us shining brightly, fully alive and shining brightly, and to glorify God because they see the way that we're living it out. We thank you for that, God. Thank you, God. Team, lead us in this song. And just continue as we sing this morning to allow God to just speak to you and strengthen you and encourage you this morning in his purposes and his empowerment for our lives. Amen.